Hey everyone, it's me, Jacinth Howard, and welcome back to The Light in the Cracks. Now, I know it's been quite some time since I've presented you guys with some audio material, but I'm back and I'm really hoping to make this a habit because some of you would have mentioned that you're more of listeners than readers, and although you read the posts, you would appreciate hearing my voice. So I'm going to do it for you guys. I'm doing it for me too, and I'm doing it for anybody out there who is willing to tune in and learn and add and start conversations. I'm really excited today for several reasons. It's my birthday. I'm turning 27 today, but that's not the most important reason today for why I'm excited. So there's some news I want to share with you guys today. I will be starting the ball rolling on a mini series that I'm beginning called Reclaiming the Space. So I'm hoping, whether or not this applies to you, that you'll be willing to partake, to add, so that we can all enlighten each other, learn, be encouraged, have some fun, and just really give some thought to things we may have ignored in the past, may not have processed, may not have simply thought that it was important. So next week, or rather when I produce another podcast, you'll hear a little bit more diversity other than the monotone of my voice, although I don't think my voice is monotonous. Anyway, this is not about me. So we'll have maybe a musical intro. So I'll just rely on my techie expert friends for that. That's definitely not me. And we'll see what we come up with. So more about reclaiming this space. Now, today is really special to me because it marks the advent of an operation that's very dear to my heart. This is the first episode of Reclaiming the Space, and that means several things. I want to facilitate discussion on having a gap, otherwise known as space teeth in the Caribbean, or medically called a diastema. So it's, and from my own personal experience, I want to talk a little bit about that today. But what I'm really excited about is sharing stories from several women I've come across, I've run into, I've known, I've been introduced to, and hearing what their stories are. And I just really want this to be a wide discussion where we can all bring some valuable contributions to the table, have some measure of catharsis, cleansing, healing, thinking, growth. That's what my objectives are. This is what I want to see come out of this, because it's not a discussion you see come up very often, but we have no idea how many of us who have a gap have had to learn to accept and appreciate the beauty that comes with that. And I just really want to hear what we all have to say. And some of us have been through some really tough things, hard things in terms of beauty and how we're received by society and the people around us because of those, because of our gaps. And also, some of us have had some really great experiences where we feel reassured and loved and appreciated for our parents, and we understand how beautiful God has truly made us, including our gaps. So I want to create that space here. And not only do I consider this an opportunity to express the beauty in this unique feature, thereby reclaiming the space, but I also, as I said, would like to give the women around me with similar spaces the opportunity to share. And depending on how things go, may expand to men. So if you are interested in sharing, if you think you have something valuable to bring to the table about this topic, if you have your own experiences, if you know someone who has experiences, if you know anyone in the dental profession who can bring some medical light to this topic, feel free to email me, drop me a message. I have no problem with including you. So I'm going to talk about my story this week and just give you an overview of what would have inspired this. So When I was a little girl, I had temporary teeth, as we all do. My smile was what we would call perfect. Now, when I was 5 years old, that meant nothing to me. I wasn't thinking about my teeth. I wasn't thinking about how I looked. I was more interested in getting perfect grades, in making good friends, in playing without getting into any fights, in passing my exams. I just had, you know, the typical carefree little girl life, to the point that I don't even remember when I transitioned to my permanent teeth, although I'm sure it happened at the typical age. So when that happened, I became what is known as a girl with space teeth. A diastema, as it's also called, is often a hereditary trait. But when I look around in my family, I don't see anyone else with one. So I'm assuming it could have been my grandparents, my great-grandparents, my great-great-grandparents. The only person biologically in my family who I've seen with a gap is my younger sister. But she would have had hers closed when we were very small with braces. But I am planning to feature her later on in the series, and you'll hear her story too. It's very interesting. And her relationship with that experience, how it went for her, how it became undone. So stick around. I'll definitely be updating you every week with each story. And please, please support these girls, because being vulnerable is not easy. And you may think, well, this is something simple, but for a lot of us, it's like a very deep part of who we are. And it's affected how we think, how we navigate life, how we think of beauty standards. So I'm just really looking forward to what comes of this. So, as I was saying, in my immediate family, I was the only one I could see. And sometimes I felt very self-conscious. I felt very aware of opinions about me, and I avoided smiling. Now, my youngest sister, she never had a gap. Her teeth are perfect. And you know what's the most irritating part? She used to suck her thumb all the time. And we were like, oh, your teeth are going to be bad. I never sucked my thumb one day in my life. And then she ends up with perfect teeth, quote unquote. And I end up with quote unquote imperfect teeth. So you see, life is not fair. But I remember when she was younger, she had this terrible experience where she fell and she knocked two of her front teeth out. It was horrible. She cried. She was bleeding. It was just really traumatic. She just slipped on a wet floor and there went her teeth. And I remember during that time, she was like five. We went to New York on a family trip and she would not smile. You take photos, she would not smile. She would have her mouth open occasionally, but then when she caught herself, she stopped smiling. She just felt so embarrassed. She lacked confidence in her appearance. Now, that's a totally different story, but it reminds me of this time when I had just met my niece, my husband's niece, rather, which made her my niece. But when I met her, she came up to me, well, a couple years after, and she's like, Auntie Jassie, are you missing a tooth? And I thought it was so hilarious. I mean, by then I developed a pretty good amount of confidence concerning my appearance. So it was hilarious then. But had she told me that when I was younger, I would have been so embarrassed. So there are all these experiences that you will have that the person with like the perfect glimmering straight smile would not experience, that you have to consider. So that affected a lot of my self-esteem growing up. I remember that I was being called ugly in primary school. I remember in high school that this girl started telling me all I need to do to improve my appearance. I need to get my gap shut. I need to fix my eyebrows. I need to wax my lip and change my hair. Like, high school was brutal. Can anybody identify with me on that? It was terrible. So, in some regards, like, looking back, I loved my high school experience. But those things, they were difficult. They were difficult. Yes, they made me toughen up, but they also made me question a lot and made me a little more insecure. So there, I mean, all of us experience some kind of challenge in that department as children, but there's a way in which we pick on difference, and we use difference as our a measuring stick to isolate others. And with my teeth, that happened to me on occasions. So up to recently, someone came up to me and she was like, she noticed that my son, he has a little baby gap. And she was like, oh my goodness, your son, he has a gap. But don't worry, my daughter had a gap too. But you know, as her daughter grew up, she, when her teeth changed out, she had straight teeth. So she's like, don't worry, that's just because these are the temporary teeth. When they get their permanent bigger teeth, everything will be fine. So I'm like, okay, this woman is kind of telling me I should be worried about my kid's gap. And like, I'm right here in front of your face with my gap. Obviously, I must appreciate it if I still have it. So I just gave her one big gappy tooth grin. Ironically, because she was pretty much making it sound as if having a gap was a terrible thing. But now I'm so proud of it. And you know what? If my son has a gap, he can decide when he's older whether or not he wants to keep it. But I don't think that's a bad thing. He will be handsome, regardless. And he will look handsome with or without his gap. And I want my child to grow up with that kind of confidence. And I think it's so important for us to help our children recognize their beauty, their handsomeness, their strengths, that nobody could discourage them or tell them anything based on their appearance. So I realized a long time ago that gaps are not the first preference for people, especially in the beauty industry. I remember, you guys know the Kardashians, they're all over the news, and this drama with Khloe and Jordan. So Jordan is a pretty well-known model now because of the drama, but I'm not here to talk about the drama. I'm here to talk about how I've noticed how Jordan was constantly harassed about her pre-glow up image where she had a gap. And she was told that she owed it to her her best friend Kylie for fixing her appearance. And when I really thought about it, I was like, wow, this really is the source of teasing for a lot of children growing up. It was as if they wanted her to be ashamed of that. The American public used that to remind her how undesirable her previous appearance was. And for a long time, I didn't want that appearance either. Like, I longed for the day when a random man in Middle Street, Kingstown, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines would stop interrupting me walking through town with this cringy, "Hey girl, me like your space teeth." Oh my gosh, that used to get me. And he would just be looking me up and down, and I'm just like, okay. And some of you might know that there are like sexual innuendos attached to having a gap. Like, it was so uncomfortable. And I just really wanted to avoid ever experiencing that again. But in spite of all of these negative experiences, like, I learned over time that gaps do carry expressions of loveliness in other cultures. And I know, and you will hear the other stories as time goes on, because there are girls who've had exceptional experiences and reception concerning their gap that I may not have had. But like in some African countries like Ghana, Namibia, a diastema symbolizes beauty and fertility. And I guess my child is evidence of the fertility aspect. But like, those things are the type of things we need to know and hear, that we are beautiful too. So it doesn't help that, you know, these quintessential, sometimes European beauty standards, but I can't even say that because there are so many white models in the industry who have beautiful gaps and they're not ashamed of it. I'll mention one later, Lindsay Wixon. And that's how we as women need to be confident about ourselves, confident in who God made us, because he did not make mistakes at all. We are beautiful. So gaps are even regarded in France as symbols of good luck. Like, girls with gaps are attractive and lucky, y'all. And I'm not trying to bash the people with the Jessica Alba smiles. You guys are beautiful too. But I only recently started appreciating how God made me and how beautiful I was. So what I really want us to do is start doing some introspection about how we've been influenced, about standards of beauty, why we've reached these conclusions, how we've reached these conclusions, how we're unpacking these conclusions, how we're undoing these conclusions in a kind of decolonizing, for want of a different word, something parallel to that in terms of how we approach our appearance. And my recent experience really helped me gain some appreciation for what people often perceived as a flaw. So this is what happened. This is my last story. So recently, my husband took me to an orthodontist. I'd been experiencing quite a bit of pressure to close my gap because it seemed to be a little bit wider. So I don't know if that was in my head or if I observed it also, but I felt really conscious about it lately because I was asked about it more often than usual. So my husband has all, look, can we just give some applause for those husbands who appreciate their wives and love every part of them? Like, my husband always expressed how my gap was one of the most attractive aspects of me for him, and that is what I really needed as someone marrying him. I couldn't marry someone who would constantly tell me I need to change this or fix this. Like, ladies, we have to accept sometimes when there are things we can do better and things we can adjust, but that wasn't one of them for him, and I really, really appreciated that. So I was confident in that, in his love for me and for my beauty, and like, every woman needs that in a relationship. So he still supported me. We went together, and after the consultation, it became clear to me that my naturally occurring 6 millimeter gap was the only thing in my mouth that really needed fixing. Like, my teeth were pretty okay and straight otherwise. Yeah, there'll be a little bit of space here and there, but really, that was the only thing that needed quote unquote fixing. So I was left to deliberate about my future and all that that could entail composite or veneers. And then one of my really good friends, her name is Tershatha, shout out to Tershatha, hi, she said, she sent me this, what do you call these things now, quadro pictures or something, like, it's a bit of a collage with 4 photos of 4 different women with gaps, and they were all beautiful. And she, it was such a timely reminder, like, I had zero discussion with her about this. So it was almost as if God was sending this to remind me, you are beautiful the way I made you. So, and she was quick to remind me of how much she loved my gap, how much she appreciated it. And she brought to my remembrance another model, Slick Woods, and who has a gap also, and how much that contributed to her career. Now, you might be wondering, why am I using models as illustrations? Now, this is not because I look to them for any kind of validation or commendation or for what I should do or look like, but it's because of their influence. They have a strong influence on our beauty standards here in the Caribbean. You know what they say, when America sneezes, we catch the cold. So you have models like Gisele Bündchen, who influenced the return of the sexy model. Like, her curvature encouraged them to put more of those kinds of women on the catwalk, because it was an industry dominated by the beautiful slender woman. And you have Black models like Naomi, who gave us an image of Black women can walk the catwalk too. You have plus size models, you have more diversity then. Like, the representation is so important. Now, I am not telling, now don't quote me, I am not telling you to go and make models your role models. I'm just saying, look at how these small changes have made impact on our society and what we perceive as beauty. So you have, as I mentioned before, other models like Lindsay Wixon, and they have brought representation that young girls need to see. So what I hope to do with this series also is for young girls who have gaps, they can look at this and they can see, look, there are older girls who can be good role models for me, not because of your gap, obviously, but guys, all the girls I know with gaps are magical. Not saying that those without gaps aren't magical, but the ones who are. So I just want us to realize that the presence of these models is an indication that our perceptions about beauty, they are malleable. They can be changed, they can be shaped, they can be adjusted based on what we see in influential spheres. So, I want us to celebrate our diversity, our separate textures, our different appearances, how God has made us. Like, all of us weren't made exactly the same. We're not clones. There are short people. Celebrate your shortness, girl. Tall people, realize you're beautiful, darling. Like, there is so much that God has done in creating us different. Dark girls, you are beautiful. Light girls, you are lovely. Pale girls, you are stunning. Please, this is the purpose of this activity. So I'm really looking forward over the next few weeks to how we're all going to respond to this, what we're going to give to this, what we're going to contribute, how we're going to listen and internalize and change our perspectives even where they're negative. So I'm really excited, and I hope you are too. Thank you so much for joining me today. See you next time. Thank you for listening on Light in the Cracks. On this edition of Reclaiming the Space, this is episode 1. See you next week. Bye.